Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We're speaking to you from the Old Stone Capitol on the campus of the State University of Iowa. This morning, the State University joins with the Iowa Centennial Committee in presenting a commemorative program on the 100th anniversary of the admission of Iowa to the Union. It was here in the Old Stone Capitol on December 28, 1846, that the newly elected legislature became, in fact, the first state legislature. For on this day, 100 years ago, President James K. Polk signed the bill admitting Iowa to the Union as the 29th state. On this December 28th, 1946, let us go back 100 years to meet some of the men who left their imprint on the state we know so well. And let us relive some of the events which culminated in Iowa's admission into the Union as the 29th state. Let's go back to 1838, the year the territory of Iowa was established. Our scene is set in Burlington, a thriving river town of a little over 1,000 population. Let us look in on Mr. James Clark, editor of the Iowa Territorial Gazette and Burlington Advertiser, who is sitting at home of an evening talking with his wife.
Well, Christiana, that was a fine meal. The prairie chicken, corn, bread, and apple pie were delicious.
Thank you, James. After all, Iowa is the land of plenty, as you might say in one of your editorials.
Yes, indeed. We have much to look forward to now that the territory of Iowa has been separated from that of Wisconsin.
And when does the new governor, Robert Lucas, arrive?
I am told he'll get here in mid-August.
What about Robert Lucas? Will he give us a good start on the road to statehood?
I think so. He served in both the upper and lower house of the Ohio legislature, and he's been twice elected governor of Ohio.
To what political party does he belong, James?
He's a Democrat. In fact, he was chairman of the National Democratic Convention, which renominated Andrew Jackson for the presidency back in 1832.
Isn't that nice? The editor of a Democratic newspaper and a Democratic governor ought to manage together well.
On the face of it, yes. But one of the first problems Governor Lucas will have to decide, however, is the location of the territorial capital. As soon as Governor Lucas comes to Burlington, you may be sure I'll be the one that first to see him. Governor Lucas, I'm James Clark, editor of the Iowa Territorial Gazette.
I'm delighted to meet you, Clark.
How did you like your trip up the Mississippi on the steamboat Brazil?
Just fine. By the way, you have a very thriving Levian city here.
We think it's the best town in the territory.
Tell me about the Iowa Territory. I know, of course, that it embraces the land north of the state of Missouri, between the Mississippi and Missouri rivers and north to Canada.
Yes, sir, Governor. Almost 200,000 square miles. Larger than any state in the Union. And almost as big as Texas.
What about the land?
The very best. Prairie, plain, forest.
How many people live here?
Something over 22,000. Which means we have unlimited room for expansion.
Where do most of them live?
Along the Mississippi and Des Moines rivers. Governor, I assume Burlington will continue to be the capital of the territory of Iowa?
I don't believe the territorial government would necessarily stay here.
Perhaps not, but Burlington is in the most heavily populated section of the state. Our facilities are second to none, and since Burlington was capital of Wisconsin territory, it seems natural for it to continue as capital of Iowa territory.
Clark, let me make myself clear. I am neither for nor against Burlington as the capital city, or, for that matter, any other town. If other cities press their claims, I'll try to make a decision on the merits of the case.
Mr. Governor, we represent the city of Davenport. It is our judgment that the territorial government should be located in our city. We are nearer the center of the territory, north and south. Our shipping facilities are among the best on the river.
Governor Lucas, The citizens of Dubuque are determined that the capital of the territory be moved to Dubuque. We are sure you'll find no city is better situated. Mr. Governor, should you decide not to select Dubuque, we will ask that the northern boundary of the future state of Iowa be located south of us, so that we'll have a chance to be the capital city of the state to the north of you.
Well, Clark, I've canvassed the situation with reference to where the territorial government should be located.
Yes, Mr. Governor?
This is not a matter I can decide. I shall refer to the Legislative Assembly of the Territory of Iowa when it meets on November 12th. Legislative Assembly, on your advice, I shall refer the question of a permanent seat of government of the territory to the Committee on Territorial Affairs.
Mr. Governor, the Committee on Territorial Affairs recommends that Burlington remain as the temporary capital of Iowa Territory for 3 years. And that Mount Pleasant be the permanent capital.
Second.
Mr. Governor.
The senator from Muscatine.
I move to amend by striking out Mount Pleasant and inserting Muscatine.
Mr. Governor.
The senator from Bellevue.
I move to amend by striking out Muscatine and inserting Bellevue.
Mr. Governor.
The senator from Burlington.
I move to amend by striking out Bellevue and inserting Burlington.
Move to amend by striking out Burlington and inserting Wyoming.
Insert Davenport.
Insert
Rochester.
Napoleon.
Dubuque.
Rockingham.
Piasaqua.
Upper Wapello.
Lower Wapello.
Tippinomo.
Mr. Governor.
Senator Nolan.
In view of the difficulties we seem to be having, perhaps the more realistic motion might be to resolve we establish two seats of government to squander the appropriation for erecting public buildings.
Mr. Governor.
Colonel Cox.
Mr. Governor and gentlemen. If we persist in our struggle to locate the permanent capital in our own communities, we will never arrive at a decision. May I suggest that we ignore all local interests and locate the capital on unoccupied public land? I suggest the most eligible point to be within the present limits of Johnson County, that the capital be named Iowa City, and that three commissioners be appointed to select the site on May 1st, 1839. I so move.
I second the motion.
Is there discussion? If not, those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Do you suppose all the commissioners will get here today?
Oh, sure. It's still early in the morning, and Chauncey Swan is already here. The others will get here soon. After all, John Ronalds has to come all the way from Louisa County, and Robert Ralston from Des Moines County.
But they have to act today if their actions are to be legal. Look, Mr. Swan, it's almost noon. A man could ride the 35 miles from here to Louisa County and back with John Ronalds before midnight. That would create a quorum so you could act legally.
Could you do it?
Well, certainly.
On your way, then.
But, Mr. Swan, it's only a half hour more till midnight. Ronalds may have been ill. He may not have been at home, or their horses may have played out on them. They may have lost their way.
I appreciate your concern, sir. Their arrival in the next few minutes means as much to me as to you. I'll not give up until midnight has come.
Here they come! Gentlemen, gentlemen, I congratulate you.
There is still time before midnight to administer Ronalds and myself the required oath.
And on the following day, May the 2nd, 1839, a day in spring when the oaks were beginning to bud, when the other trees and shrubs were in full leaf and the spring flowers were in full bloom in forest and on the prairie, the two commissioners paused 2 miles north of Napoleon, along the elevation to the east of the Iowa River. Below them was a clear, limpid stream in a channel about 240 feet wide. On the opposite side of the river, the banks rose abruptly for 50 feet to the level of a smooth prairie. Here the commissioners selected the most eligible point for the permanent capital of the territory of Iowa, the spot on which the old stone capital now stands, from whose halls this broadcast comes to you. Thus was the site for the territorial government selected. There were many incidents in the life of the territory between 1838 and 1846, but the dominant political issue between 1840 and 1846 was the achievement of statehood, an issue which began to unfold one day in July of 1840.
Gentlemen of the Legislative Assembly, I have called you together in special session because important matters need your decision. In the past year, sentiment in favor of Iowa's becoming a state seems to be increasing. I suggest, gentlemen, that the question of whether we should hold a constitutional convention be referred to the people.
I'm going to vote no. I don't want to burden myself with the cost of state government. Let the federal government stand the expense of governing us.
And I'm going to vote no, too. This is a move on the part of the Democrats to get the state offices for themselves.
My vote is no.
Well, I'm in favor. It's time Iowa became a state.
Sentiment seems to be 3-1 against joining the Union at this time. The time will come when the representatives of the people will meet in a constitutional convention for the purpose of seeking admission to the Union.
The Constitutional Convention of 1844 will be in order. Gentlemen, by way of opening this convention, may I express the hope that we will frame a constitution which will, in all its essential provisions, be as wise and good, if not better, than any other instrument which has ever yet been devised for the government of mankind, so that Iowa, young, beautiful, and blooming as she now is, endeared to us by every attachment which can bind us to our country, may at no distant day, for everything that is great, noble, or renowned, rival, if not surpass, the proudest state of the American Confederacy. Gentlemen, I will appoint the appropriate committees and hope that they will be able to report in the near future. Gentlemen, the Constitution which you have carved out will be submitted to the people for ratification at the township elections in April 1845 and will be forwarded to Washington for action by the federal government. The Constitutional Convention is adjourned.
Oh, I think they did pretty well in drawing up the Constitution. Why, if I weren't a Whig, I might vote for it myself.
Well, as a Democrat, I feel the Constitution is good. I do wish, though, they had been a little more Jeffersonian.
Say, did you two hear Congress to change the boundaries of our state?
Why, no.
Yes, sir, they cut the area of the state roughly in two.
Well, I know how I'm going to vote.
And I'm going to vote in exactly the same way.
James Clark, I'm glad President Polk has appointed you territorial governor.